Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. This is what Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe how many things? All things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the Great Commission. These are the marching orders for the church. Now, we have observed something from the Great Commission, that according to Jesus, in order to be His disciple, you must be making disciples. In other words, it should be the natural outflow of anyone who is a disciple of Christ to be making disciples. As a matter of fact, we would perhaps say it this way, that we need to be going and making disciples that make disciples, that make disciples. This is the plan of God. This is the Word of God for us. And I want to say that by and large, at least the church in America, we have failed in this area. And here's how we've failed. When we lead someone to Christ, it has been primarily our focus to have classes and Bible studies with them because we want them to know Christ better. And we should be doing that, right? But where we've failed, I believe, is with the whole idea of really making an integral part of discipleship to immediately begin to teach them that they should be making disciples. And I believe that's been missing in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's maybe not missing entirely, but something radical needs to change in America and in the church. Something radical needs to change. And this is part of it. We cannot be content with thinking that we know a lot about Jesus. And are you making disciples? Am I making disciples? Because if we're not, we really are not disciples ourselves. This Great Commission is for all of us. It wasn't directed to the 12 disciples. It was directed to all of Christ's followers. Go and make disciples. Well, with that introduction, I just want to take a couple of minutes to share this. I think that one of the primary ways that we can fulfill the Great Commission is through parenting. In other words, our homes should be places where Christian parents are training their children to be disciples of Jesus. And if we're training our children to be disciples of Jesus, it would include then, with our hopefully better understanding, that we're training them to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So today, on Father's Day, I want to challenge men and fathers and men who may one day be a father to be a disciple maker in your home. Dr. James Dobson was asked recently, actually, this question. What has been your greatest challenge as a father? Well, many of you know who Dr. Dobson is. His new ministry is called Family Talk. But we've known about him for years. He's written and spoken about so many things that have been helpful for us to have Christian homes. And he was asked this question, and here is how he answered, quote, "Raising healthy, well-educated, well-disciplined children who love God and their fellow man is, I believe, the most challenging responsibility in living. Not even rocket science can approach it for complexity and unpredictability. And of course, the job is even more difficult today when the culture undermines and contradicts everything Christian parents are trying to accomplish at home." How many of you sense that? We talk a lot about that here. The culture is really changing and has changed so drastically. And now here we are trying to raise up children who will know and love God and follow Christ, and the culture is more and more directly opposed to that. So we all understand this, just like Dr. Dobson has said. So the task of raising children to love Jesus and follow Jesus is indeed tremendously important. It is extremely difficult, but it is not impossible. If we learn to depend on the Holy Spirit, we can and we must accept this challenge and make it our top priority. And so in the few moments we have here together remaining, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Old Testament. And really what we're going to talk about today is a little bit of a preview of what the teaching is going to focus on Family Fun Day. And I'm just going to give you a taste of it. But Family Fun Day is coming up on July the 15th. The theme of the day is Timeless Truths for Strong Families. Now, the first thing I want to share with you before we read the text is this. As you know, Israel had been 40 years in the wilderness wandering, and everyone over the age of 21, except for Joshua and Caleb, had died because of unbelief, because they just didn't get it. And now a new generation has been raised up, and they're about ready to finally go into the promised land. And it's interesting to me that they are about to go into a land, the land of Canaan, which was a culture filled with paganism. And if I could echo what Dr. Dobson just said, these pagans would undermine and contradict everything Israel believed and stood for. Are you with me? They're about to enter into a culture and establish a nation of people who follow Yahweh, Jehovah God, and they're going into a place that's totally pagan. And it's interesting to me that as they're ready to go in, God has a plan whereby they will be able to establish worship and lifestyle that would honor God in this new place, this culture of paganism. And guess what he talks about? He talks about family. He talks about families, and he gives instructions to families. In other words, it's very apparent that God has in mind for them and for us that the primary way he is going to establish his kingdom in this new area was through families. Let's read about it. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now it seems obvious to me that God is saying to his people, it will be in your families that I establish my word, my commandments, and a lifestyle that is in agreement with it. It will be in your families. And as you read the rest of Scripture, it is obvious that fathers play a crucial role in making their home a training ground for discipleship by being a disciple themselves. Now, everything that we talk about here, commandments and statutes and judgments, we could summarize that by simply using the word truth. Say truth, truth. God is the author of truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The Word of God is where we find ultimate truth. Amen? Amen? And so what we're talking about here is establishing families that are absolutely committed to God and to His Word. His Word is truth. Now I want to give you three simple things today, gentlemen. Ladies, you can listen and take it in as well. Number one, as a father, as a man, you need to know the truth. It's interesting that he opens up the passage by saying, this is the commandment. these are the statutes and judgments and so on that the Lord has commanded to teach you. So the first thing that he says to them as they're ready to go into this new land is, you need to know the Lord's commandments. You need to know what they are. You and I need to know the truth. And for the rest of the book, Moses teaches them. It's interesting as you just sort of think ahead with the rest of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses talks to them about the fact that they are a chosen people that are in covenant relationship with God. Do you know that's true of us today as well? Hello? Aren't we covenant people? Aren't we in covenant with God through Jesus Christ? So he reminds them of who they are in their relationship with God, the true God. And then he talks to them very openly about the blessings they will receive if they obey God. And he talks very openly with them about the curses they will endure if they disobey God. He also reminds them, listen to this, he reminds them several times of the failure of the previous generation. Here we have a generation of people then who God brought out of Egypt. And you know the story well. It took them about 2 years to get to Kadesh Barnea. They're on the edge of going into the promised land and crossing Jordan. And they wouldn't believe God. As a matter of fact, according to the word of God, there were only two men. You would include Moses being the third, I suppose. But only two men over the age of 21 that believed God. And the whole nation didn't believe God, and God brought them back out for 38 more years to wander around. And guess what happened to that generation? Every single person over the age of 21, except for Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness. This was God's plan. He would not let them go in. He allowed them to die. He actually made it such because they wouldn't trust God. So that generation had a tremendous failure to believe God. And now another generation has come along. And I love the music we sing today that talks about being a generation of people who will believe God and trust God for revival and obey the Lord with all of our hearts. We can be that generation. I said, we can be that generation. Praise God. There is no limit to what we can do if we will simply make God the Lord of our lives. And so he teaches them all these things. Some of us maybe have come from a family where there was a failure. And you didn't have the privilege of maybe having parents who really raised you to know and love God. And so sometimes we feel hampered by that. But I just want to remind you that the previous generation of these people had failed miserably. Not that we want that. It's sad that it happened, but it was just a reality. But now God is saying, I want you to be different. I want you to do this differently this time. And dad, and parents, and families, but especially dads, if you are to disciple your children, you must first of all know the truth that is found in God's Word. You know, the Bible truly is an instruction manual on life. It's completely relevant for today. The Bible is full of timeless truths. Therefore, the first thing I want to say simply to you is this. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a learner. Dad, I want to challenge you to be a student of Scripture. I want to challenge you to open the Word of God and read it for yourself. And I want you to be faithful to come and be taught by the gifted people God has given you in the local church. You need to be a learner. Your children need to know and see that you're still learning. Haven't learned at all. But you have a teachable spirit and you're hungry to know the Word of the living God. Not to have a lackadaisical attitude about it, but to be diligent about learning the Word of God. Does your life evidence to your family that you run after opportunities to read the Word yourself, but to be taught and to learn God's Word? Number two, not only does he tell the families, and I'm addressing the men especially, to know the truth, but secondly, dads, model the truth. Model the truth. Let's read it again. Now, this is the commandment. These are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them. Where? In the land which you are about to cross over and possess. Not only learn these commandments, But he says, observe them. And he goes on to say that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your life may be prolonged. And so he says, learn the truth. And then he says, model it. Live it out. A disciple is not only a learner. Listen, a disciple is a doer. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one who is not only a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Amen? Do it. Now, how much of it are we supposed to do? What did Jesus say in the Great Commandment? Teach them to observe most everything that I commanded you. Teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you that will fit in with their lifestyle and their culture. No, he said, teach them to obey all of my commandments. If you're going to be a man of influence, if we as men are going to be men of influence, we must make the determination that we are going to obey everything God has told us to do. No exceptions, no reservations, nothing left out. Now you say, well, Pastor, do you always obey God? No, that's not what I said. It is my desire that I will obey God. And when I realize that I have failed, I will quickly admit it. And I'll get my other brothers around me and other people around me, pray for me, and we will encourage one another. But the intent of our heart is, I'm going to do everything God has told me to do. I wonder today, is complete obedience part of your vocabulary? Your children are watching you. Your children are watching you. You may not know it, but they're watching. And they're not looking for a perfect father. But they need to see that you obey the Lord even when it's hard. You see, as dads, if we are choosing what we obey and what we don't obey, we're teaching our children to do the same thing. We're teaching them it's okay to be selective about obedience. If you don't have kids but you have a spouse, you're teaching your spouse it's okay to be selective about how you obey God. What is wrong with that picture? The Christ of Calvary, who died and shed his blood for us, is calling us to follow him and do everything that he has told us to do. I believe that we should obey God, Dad, even when it means that you choose obedience to the Lord over the feelings and the wants of your children. We have too many children run homes. We do what the kids want to do. I'm challenging you today. That thing needs to change. We need to set the tone in love. I'm not talking about being some barbaric slave driver. I'm just talking about somebody who says, I love Jesus, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And I'm going to, as long as you're under my roof, teach you personally and so on to do the same. As imperfect as I may be, it is my desire that my family and I and our house, we will serve the Lord without any reservation. I personally believe that when you determine to obey God, even when your kids don't want you to, they will come back one day and call you blessed because you chose to do the right thing. Sometimes a child might even say to their parents, I hate you. Maybe some of us have heard that. And I don't want my child to hate me, so what can I do to make that better? Be careful. Just say, well, you know, I'd rather you not hate me, but we're still going to do the right thing. They'll love you for that one day, Mom and Dad. They'll love you. They'll be glad. They will be glad, and they will praise God that you stayed by the stuff. We need to know it. We need to model it. Perfectly? No. But with the intent of our heart. Thirdly and lastly, we need to know the truth. We need to model the truth. Are you listening? Number three, we need to teach the truth. Look at verse 7. You shall teach them diligently. I said, you shall teach them diligently to your children. It does not say send them to the pastor to teach your children. My task should be to simply reinforce the teachings of the Word of God that you're already teaching your kids. And they hear it here and they hear it there and they're all of a sudden saying, well, this must be true. Amen? A disciple is a learner, a disciple is a doer, but a disciple is a teacher. Now, listen, it doesn't mean you have the gift of teaching. You may or may not. But here's what I want to challenge you to do as a dad. Share with your children what you are learning. Anybody can do that. So what would I do if I ask them a question? They ask me a question I can't answer. I would say, get in line. That's what I would say. Look, no dad, no man, no preacher, nobody has all the answers. But we say, I'll get back with you. I'll study. I'll pray. I'll try to get an answer for you. Your kids don't expect you to know everything. They really don't. But what they expect and what they need to see is that you love them enough that you're going to share what you're learning. How about this? Not only share something you're learning from God's Word, but share what God is currently doing in your life. Is God doing anything in your life? If not, you need to really check things out. Why? Of course He's involved in your life. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we overcomplicate it. What is God doing in my life? Your kids need to hear you talk about that. They need to know that you believe in a God who is active in your life. Share what He's doing in your life. Share with them how you've gained direction from God and encouragement from God, from His Word. And by the way, pray with your children and pray for them. It just brings it all together. I think your children need to hear you say, Father, I pray for my son. I pray for my daughter. Lord, I pray that you would bless them and show them your love. Whatever that prayer, they need to hear you praying for them. Am I right? You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be Bible college trained. Though if you go to Bible college and be trained, that's a wonderful thing. But not all dads do that. But every dad can simply say, you know, I was just reading the Word the other day and I read this verse and boy, it really meant something to me. I'd like to share it with you. Can you do that? Yeah, you can do that. Be a teacher. Furthermore, take them to church. Don't send them. Take them to church or meet them at church if they're adults. But put your children in a place where they're taught the truths that reinforce what you're teaching them. I've already mentioned that. That's a great 1-2 punch. Dad told me that. Mom said that. And then Pastor Barker said it. And then that visiting missionary, he said the same thing. And all of a sudden, our children begin to realize there is a consistency here. There are some things we may agree to disagree on, but basically, there is a flow to truth, and there is a flow to Scripture that we can get into the rhythm of life and the flow of life, and all of a sudden, it just makes so much sense because God the Holy Spirit is verifying all of these things. I want to remind you again that God told them this prior to going into the land. We live in a land that is, as I've already said, is more and more becoming antagonistic toward Christianity. Let us not be afraid, but be aware. I serve a God who's greater than those things. I serve a kingdom that Hebrews tells us is unshakable. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of Hades, the gates of death, will not prevail against it. It is not the church stopping the advancement of darkness. It is darkness not being able to stop the advancement of the truth. That's who we are. This is our identity. Don't listen to what the world says you're supposed to be. Listen to what God says you are. And pick up that mantle of identity. And by the grace of God, be a learner. Be a doer. Be a teacher of truth. Because if we're going to win our culture back on any level, it will be because of families that are strong in the Lord. Let me say this. Tony Evans said this. Strong people individually make strong families. Strong families make strong churches. Strong churches make strong communities. Strong communities make strong states. And and strong states make a strong nation. It all begins with one individual, as Pastor Odor reminded us. I'm going to get serious about following my Lord Jesus Christ. My dad, my mom, this, that, and the other, forget about all that. Look to Jesus and say, I'm going to follow Him. There's too much at stake, folks. There's too much at stake. I have one final verse for you. Very practical from the New Testament. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Translation. It's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Here's what it says. Dads, are you still with me? Okay. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. What does that mean? The Amplified, I think, amplifies it well by saying this. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment. How? With demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them. Now, that's quite an amplification, but I think it's very well said. Dads, as we lead our families, we're not asking things that are unreasonable. And for heaven's sakes, we would never ask our children to do something we're not willing to do. But we do it in love, but we put it forth. We're not going to provoke our children to anger. But then he gives this instruction. But bring them up tenderly with loving kindness. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The word discipline there can be translated training. In the training and instruction of the Lord. Training. Our homes should be training grounds for our kids to get ready for life. But not just to have a job and make money. That's part of it. It's so they know how to live life. It's that they know how to love the God who saved them and the Christ who died for them, and they're willing to follow Him. That's what home is supposed to be, a training ground to produce people and individuals who will go out into this world fully mindful that they are in the world but not of it, that through Jesus Christ we are pilgrims and strangers on this earth, and they become more and more committed to the Christ of Calvary and to the King of the kingdom of God, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, change begins to happen all over the place because homes are producing warriors and missionaries and emissaries and people who love God. And we go out into the world and we establish, just as the Israelites were about to do in a pagan land, we can do it here. We can do it now. By the grace of our God. It is such a privilege to share the Word of God with you by way of this CD. May I ask, what did the Lord say to you today? Because He's always talking to us through His Word. And I guess a more important question is, what will your response be? First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The central message of the Bible is that God sent His Son into our world to save us. And Jesus willingly paid the price for our salvation by dying on the cross for our sin. 1 John 5:11-13 is such a great passage to sort of put all this together. It says, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, the Bible is very clear here. He does not say he who has religion has life. It does not say he who does the best he can has life. But rather it says, he who has the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, has life. The biblical definition of a Christian then is someone who has received the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and life, and by that invitation of faith, they are born again. This is the definition of a believer, a follower of Christ. He goes on to say, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." What a wonderful promise. This assurance that we can know that we present tense right now possess eternal life is such a great gift from our God. So, if you've not made that all-important decision to trust in Christ, I pray that you'll do it even now. Just pray and ask Him that He might come into your life, forgive your sin, and give you the assurance of eternal life. Next, allow me to encourage you to take the steps to grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that we can do to grow spiritually, but just let me share three or four. First of all, read your Bible. Take a time every day to open its pages and read. This is the very Word of God, His revelation to you, and you will grow spiritually when you read the message of Scripture and take it into your heart. Along with that, number two is to spend time in prayer. Prayer is talking to God, expressing your heart to Him, asking Him questions. You can ask Him anything. This wonderful privilege of conversing with God is now your privilege because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Thirdly, be faithful to the services of the local church. Oh, it is so important to be in fellowship with other believers and to be under the sound of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And so as you do this on a regular basis, God will help you to grow. The Holy Spirit is now in you, and He will guide you in all things. Lastly, tell others about your faith. Don't keep it to yourself. But as God gives opportunity, let others know that Jesus is now your Savior, and you have chosen to walk with Him. Well, if there's anything I can do to help you in your spiritual journey, please let me know. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.